like a sunrise warming us up. Been spending all your time lifting me up. All of the things I've been wearing seem to be disappearing now. Reminding me what days should be made of.
Hi everybody, I'm Chimene Nugent. Welcome to Faith and Freedom, a show where we address the nation's current state surrounding God, family, and country. I'm so glad you're here. You know, this country is founded upon principles of freedom of speech and an unstoppable constitutional way of life. However, we've seen a grave silencing of Christian conservative, patriotic voices across the nation. It's our responsibility to not live in a spirit of fear, but instead to fight back against those dark forces that seek to take away our cherished God-given rights. We must stand together, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and evil forces that threaten our sovereign country and the world. We must refuse to cave into censorship and suppression from those disguised as protectors of freedom. Now for the news that has dominated headlines for weeks. More and more classified documents found in President Joe Biden's personal possession in all the wrong places. That sounds like a song. First, in an office in the Penn Biden Center, then in his garage where his crack addict son, Hunter Biden, was registered as a living resident. Now in his Wilmington, Delaware home. And the White House has lied time and time again, saying the search is over. They're not going to find anything anymore. But who else is thinking, ye have little faith? And now with documents found in the home of former Vice President Mike Pence, it seems like everyone is misplacing things. The question is, will this have any effect on charges against President Trump? Joining us live now to comment, former Deputy Director of National Intelligence under the Trump administration and Real America's Voice contributor, Kash Patel. Kash, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Chimene, thanks so much for having me back on your show.
What's your reaction to this unfolding scandal? Is the DOJ and FBI going to do anything to keep Biden accountable? And now that Merrick Garland says he's appointed special counsel, is that going to bring anybody any justice at all?
Unfortunately and tragically, look, me as a former federal prosecutor in the National Security Division at DOJ has lost all faith in this Department of Justice because they have done the one thing that was never supposed to happen in America, and that is establish a two-tier system of justice based on who the target is of an investigation because they believe something politically that the government gangsters, as I call them, don't subscribe to. And these government gangsters are Merrick Garland, Chris Wray, and the new special counsel, let's not leave him out, Robert Hur. But what you've seen and what the American people are seeing, and that's what I tell them, Joe Biden is not our target. If you're a person who espouses America First values and conservative values, Joe Biden is not our target. Our target is the administrative state. We must take this opportunity to show Americans that even though Merrick Garland goes to the podium week in and week out and says we are carrying out justice without fear and without favor, that's exactly what they are doing. They are in political fear and they are carrying out justice to favor their Democratic colleagues such as Joe Biden. So I have no faith that this DOJ and FBI will end up prosecuting Joe Biden appropriately. And that's why the mission falls squarely to the men and women who've just been elected to the new Congress and the subcommittee on the weaponization of the federal government. So I hope Jim Jordan and the folks that were just nominated to that committee today take the mantle and start issuing subpoenas immediately.
Some are talking about a bigger picture here, like maybe Democrats are allowing this to come to the surface so they can head off Biden's chances of running again. Or maybe the Democrats have just finally had it with their chosen one. What are your thoughts?
I think it's a little of both. I think they have seen the deterioration of Joe Biden, which we have seen for years. But I think they've also seen the guy that has been lying to the American public literally for 40 years as a politician. Everything's caught up to him, whether it's plagiarizing speeches or lying about his civil rights record or where he worked or served. And now, of course, the Biden document scandal and his son's whole involvement in a criminal enterprise, which we haven't even gotten into. I think the Democrats are smart enough especially the likes of Obama and the people that are still in the Biden White House, i.e. Susan Rice, to know that this wounded, crippled Joe Biden cannot win an election against, say, Donald Trump in 2024. So what are they doing? I believe they're doing enough to politically kneecap him and Hunter Biden at the same time and basically try to show Joe a graceful exit. The problem they're going to probably run into is this stubbornness of this octogenarian who doesn't know how to leave a room when he's done giving a speech he can't read. And so that is going to be the Democrats' own undoing. And what I'm advising people on the Republican side or the conservative side of the aisle is we must band together to force the truth to come out about the corruption cover-up scandal that the FBI and DOJ are currently plagued in. And that is what's going to bring us together and bring us back to a uniform system of justice where we can hold the FBI and DOJ and the criminals therein accountable and not rely on them to parse out justice based on politics.
Speaking of accountability, we got a new House, and that's a good start to keeping this administration accountable to real Americans. House Oversight Committee Chair James Comer says he's ready to investigate Joe Biden and the entire Biden crime family. In fact, he told outlets that the evidence is everywhere. He described it like this, quote, tracking a bleeding bear through a snowstorm. Now, I have tracked a bleeding deer, but not a bleeding bear, and I know that's easier to track in a snowstorm. How far do you think the new House is going to get in their investigation of the Biden crime family?
Well, we'll know soon enough. From my days as leading the Russiagate investigator in Congress and the then Chairman Nunes on the House Intel Committee, the one thing that's powerful is congressional subpoenas. We saw the January 6th committee put those congressional subpoenas on full blast. So we know their weight. So with Comer and other leaders in Congress, are they going to start following the money? Because the Biden crime family syndicate is buttressed on their entire monetary operation, their pay-for-play scheme from the Ukraine to the $1.5 billion they got from the CCP in China while Joe Biden was president. And I think certain investigators have followed the money, and that's what's led them to Hunter Biden's laptop. And I believe that's what led them to the classified document discovery, not the NARA librarians, but that there are some good cops left at the FBI who said, wait a second, Hunter Biden's in putting out confidential classified information to secure these big contracts. So the likes of Comer and company and Jim Jordan have to put out subpoenas to the banking institutions that provided the money lines to the Biden family. And the one good thing about this is these records are solid, they're black and white, and money doesn't lie. So I believe if they get those records for the American people, we can have a form of accountability. We won't have prosecutions, but it will lead to the exposure of the corruption of the FBI and DOJ that has covered up the Biden crime family syndicate for years and is only being exposed because of the finding of classified documents through the Hunter Biden laptop investigation. So we'll see where it culminates. I believe Hunter and Joe should both be criminally charged, but I'm not sure we get there. I think the Democrats are going to try to barter something to get them out.
And it's not just the Biden family scandals, as you mentioned. The new House made it clear that they're going after the whole system, especially with this new committee, the Select Subcommittee of the Weaponization of the Federal Government, that Representative Jim Jordan is going to chair. He says he plans on going after the government's collusion with social media and Anthony Fauci's role in the whole COVID misinformation debacle and the Justice Department's interaction with local school boards. There's just a lot to do on this to-do list. Is this the start of accountability?
Well, there is a lot to do. And if Jim Jordan, who I used to work for and his dear friend, I actually just saw him earlier, if he does those three things, we will have a massive rollout of accountability. I mean, just think of it. If we are able to show the American public the corruption that we know exists at the DOJ and FBI, that we know exists at big tech because of the Twitter files release, we've proven it time and time again, but the American public have been blinded to it because of the fake news mafia. And we haven't even gotten to Fauci. If he does an investigation on Fauci and the lies surrounding the medical data and the rollout of the vaccine and its reliance to basically harm and infect a whole population and cause side item effects that were never planned for, I think that is a massive form of accountability that can only come in the form of public exposure to the data. And I think Jim Jordan will start sending out subpoenas very soon on those three lanes of investigations. And that's a lot to undertake for any one subcommittee in Congress. Even if they accomplish one or two of those things, I would still call it a victory. So we're off to a good start. And we've kicked off Adam Schiff and Swalwell off the committees of intelligence. So I think we're off to an even better start because those guys were the biggest corrupt actors in Congress impeding accountability.
Yeah, and we did have a red wave. We got rid of Nancy Pelosi, so I think this is the start of something new and great. But speaking of misinformation, we now know that the real misinformation is that these so-called vaccines are not saving lives, they're ruining lives. In fact, according to the CDC and VAERS, there have been over 18,000 deaths, over 62,000 reports of myocarditis, and according to Informed Consent Action Network, almost 800,000 people reported seeking medical attention following vaccination, yet they recommend anyone 6 months and older to receive it. So saying that the benefits greatly outweigh the risk. Cash, who is ultimately responsible for these injuries and deaths?
It's going to fall to people at the United States government. And we know Fauci's the top of that pyramid. But this subcommittee can do the same thing that we were talking about with the Bidens as it relates to the COVID vaccine and its effects. What data was Fauci relying on when he relied to the world about the efficacy of the vaccine? Of course, we in the Trump administration were relying on the world's premier at the time, we thought number one health official, who had been in the system for 40 plus years. But now it's time to expose the intelligence and data and medical records that Fauci relied on and then put him under oath in Congress. And don't let him get away with saying, oh, I don't remember or I can't recall. That's the true signature statement of a liar. Fauci said he had underlying data and medical expertise to prove that this was effective. Okay, show the American public. And when we find out it doesn't exist through the subpoena process, then there needs to be some sort of accountability against Fauci and his actions, because you cannot have such a high perch and dictate to the world a medical and health safety standard set to guide us through a pandemic when you are lying to the world knowingly and intentionally. It's just as bad as the other government gangsters that are sitting in the FBI and DOJ.
Did you just say plandemic or pandemic?
I think I said plandemic, but let's.
Yeah, well, good. Well, good. So your resume now includes best-selling author. You've got a children's book called Plot Against the King, featuring King Donald and Hillary Clinton, teaching fairness, integrity, and the importance of being truthful. And I believe you got a part two, a 2000 Mule sequel. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I just wanted to take a chance on, you know, not just saying our education system needs reform, but participating in it like you do so well, and your husband take great care to do that. So I'm teaching the youth about, you know, Russiagate, but I'm also teaching them about a constitutional republic. I'm also teaching them how to have fun with history, but also the importance of a truth versus lying. And that's the theme of those two books. But I'm most proud of my most recent book, Government Gangsters, which is available at governmentgangsters.com, which I outline how these government gangsters, Merrick Garland, Ray Rosenstein, Esper, and so many others, lied to the American public, Fauci, et cetera, and basically destroyed our faith in these institutions, which is why we have a two-tier system of justice today and a weaponized intelligence community. But most importantly, I tell everybody how to fix it at governmentgangsters.com.
Well, Cash, thank you so much for joining us. God bless, and I hope to see you soon.
Thanks so much for having me.
Viewers, I want to know what you think. Who needs to be held accountable for these so-called vaccines, and how do we go about doing that? Share your voice. You can find me on Getter. My username is @Shemaine.